Nice to see everyone here tonight. Thank you very sincerely for coming. We have light this evening in all our dwellings. I hope everybody can see this chart. Good. Really appreciate your coming. And if you want to get the benefit of what we're going to talk about, you got to come every night. Now, some have been asking a number of questions, and hey, that's great. And we can answer, well, somebody else will be able to. And we now got a box for questions, so you put your question in there, and we'll try and answer as best we can. Now, tonight, we're going to follow on in the ministry, and let me give a very quick revision before we read the Holy Scriptures of Truth. All right, God's prophetic program for the ages. Now, if I walk about, don't get annoyed and get upset. Certain places we go, you know, you have to sit, stand behind that rostrum, and you don't move. You don't shout too much, and you don't lower your voice, so it's hard to please everybody. Hope we're pleasing the Lord anyways. All right, now, we've already talked about future events. And to appreciate that, we must remember that the Bible has no contradiction. And if you want to understand the Bible, you better understand that there are ages, dispensations, where God works in different ways for his people. Now, I'll just go over them quickly so that you'll understand what we're talking about. I hope everybody can see here. Here's the first one, the age of innocence, the age of conscience, human government, family government, and from this line forward, all the way through the age of the law. And then from Calvary and from the descent of the Holy Spirit right through until what we talked about last night, the rapture of the church. Now is the day of salvation right across here, the age of grace. You and I are privileged to live in it tonight. If you want any more details about that, we'll be happy to talk later. Now from this line here, when the Lord returns and moving across, over in here, this is the tribulation period. We'll talk about that tomorrow night in the will of the Lord. And then in here, the Lord will come back to earth again. And then the great millennium reign in this area here. And then finishing with the battle of Gog and Magog and the wind up of things and into the great eternal state. Last night, what will trigger the events that we're going to talk about tonight? Well, is the coming again of the Lord Jesus. So we want to be logical in our thinking. So where I'm pointing to now, the morning star, and in here to the Father's house. Let me point out to you now in this yellow part, it's heaven. And people get confused, and they say, well, is the Father's house something different? No. Heaven is a real place where real people will be. Where the Lord Jesus Christ is tonight. Now, we can't go over everything that's on the chart, but I'll just say one or two things about it. As far as the Old Testament is concerned, he's called the Lord of all the earth and the God of heaven. Now, over in here, paradise and the spirits of just man made perfect, Old Testament saints, and here's something about Christ, the offices that he bears. And he's the head over all things to the church, Ephesians 1. And that means headship. The Bible teaches headship. And then he's the advocate with the Father. And that's a different line of things. And Christ, our great high priest. If you want to know about those things, we'll be happy to talk about it. But it's not in the subject. Now, what I'd like you to just think of here, this is the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to talk about that tonight. And here are the different crowns. There are only four of them there, but there should be five and different things about it. And in this area here, heaven, where you and I will be. Now, people died in our world today, and they died in Christ, and they went to heaven. Their bodies will be buried and will be resurrected as we saw last night. So, what happens if the Lord comes tonight and we go to heaven? What happens next? Well, this is where we're going to talk about tonight, events in heaven. So we're going to talk about this area here. And we're going to read here about the judgment seat of Christ and different things about it. So let's turn to the Word now, and we'll just read very briefly And if anybody can't see or don't understand or can't hear, please tell me. I'll never know unless you tell me. Thank you very much. All right. Let's go now to, we'll start off and just go down the books quickly. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And we'll start to read there in Romans chapter 14. And this passage has to do with the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll explain that as we go. Now I'll just read very briefly here, and I hope that everybody can understand what we're talking about. All right. We'll read at maybe verse number 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Or as the Revised says, of God. Now there's scripture to show that that expression is used. Now into the next book, please. And we'll go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians, please. And we'll talk about chapter 3. Different context, but it's still exactly that day that's before us. Now, I'll read briefly here so that you'll understand what we're talking about. Now, he's talking about the foundation. Verse number 10. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. That's Paul talking. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Now notice verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, you'll receive a reward. Now, that's the judgment seat of Christ. That's on the chart there, right? Going to receive a reward. That's important. Verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Into the next chapter, please. And I'll just read very quickly there. These are the scriptures that relate to the judgment seat of Christ. All right. Verse number 3. These people are criticizing Paul the Apostle. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. That's the Corinthians. Or of man's day. The word says here judgment, but the Revised says on the margin of man's day. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. Here it is. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. He has got the last say. So the next verse, verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, till the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsel of the heart. Then shall each man have praise of God. Now chapter 5 of the next book, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll read a verse there, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And again, it relates to what we're talking about, the judgment seat of Christ. All right. Verse 10. Speaking now about believers, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done. Whether it be gain or worthless, is the idea. Whether it be acceptable or worthless. Now let's go to the next point. Now Ephesians chapter 5. We'll look a little there in Ephesians chapter 5. And this relates to the Lord Jesus and his church. And this is what's going to take place in heaven after the Lord returns. Now I'll just read then verse number 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, that's the church, with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it, present his complement to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Different things we can say about it, but we'll read one more passage in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, please, and we'll just read very briefly here to conclude. Revelation chapter 19, now the scene is heaven. All right. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Please notice, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Verse 9, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now the Lord will bless his word to our hearts tonight as we proceed. Now, events in heaven that will follow the coming again of the Lord Jesus. Now maybe there's some in the audience tonight and you have never related that some of these things in the scripture to what we're talking about. Now I want to give a very, very simple overview. And if we want to get into a little deeper, we'll be happy to do it after the time is up. Now, if anybody asks you what will happen to the believers in the world tonight if the Lord comes, what's the next event? Well, there are four events in heaven. And even though they're not on the chart, some of them are and some of them are not. Now, you see, I pointed out the judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema. More about that in a minute. These are the rewards that will be handed out. There's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Wood, hay, stubble, burned up. Gold, silver, precious stones, and so on. Right? Now, there's marriage supper of the Lamb. There are four events in heaven that will take place when we arrive there. The judgment seat of Christ, I've read you the four scriptures. Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 5. They're the ones that relate to it directly. Other scriptures can be brought forward to develop that. The next thing happens is the presentation. It's a beautiful moment when the wedding ceremony comes. And when the bride is presented to the groom. That's the next big event in heaven. Ephesians 5, I read it. And then beyond that, there will be the marriage. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. And then beyond that, the marriage supper of the Lamb. So, if you forget everything that I'm going to talk about tonight, don't forget the four events, which I believe will be in heaven. And if you believe different, we'll be happy to sit and listen to you after the meeting and you can tell us what you believe the Bible teaches. So, if the Lord comes tonight, we will be snatched away from the world. Where will we go? We won't be detained in the atmospheric heavens. We will go directly to the Father's house. How do you know? Well, I didn't read the scripture, but let me point it out to you. Revelation chapter 2 and 3 is the view that John the Apostle wanted to get of the testimony for God and the world. And it's prophetic in character. The word that we use, it's panoramic. What does that mean? That means that we take a look at something. It has a start and it has a finish. And we look at the whole spectrum of Revelation. And we learn there that from Pentecost until the Lord comes, testimony bearing on earth tonight, we're almost at that line. And what happens next? Well, in Revelation chapter 4, the next time we see the bride, the Lamb's wife, they're in the courtroom of heaven. Revelation chapter 4. A door was open in heaven, and he sees the throne, and the throne sitter, and the book, and all the rest of it. So I want to suggest to you tonight that after we are snatched from the world, we go to the judgment seat of Christ. Now I read you that statement in Revelation chapter 19. It says, the bride has made herself ready. And I take it that that refers to the judgment seat of Christ. What does it all mean? Well, let me tell you. The background is the adjudicators, the judges that sat on a higher elevation, a throne, in the games of the Grecians in years past, centuries that have gone. Today we have the equivalent. That is the Olympic Games down there in Sydney this past fall. And there were adjudicators, men that were making a decision who would get the gold medal and so on. And then the prizes are handed out. That is the background. And that's what the chart has here. This is what it's meant here to be. A throne. Who sits on that throne? The Lord Jesus Christ. And it relates to the believer. And how does it relate to me? Well, I'll tell you. From the moment that you and I were saved until the last step on earth is taken, either through death or through the coming again of the Lord Jesus, we have to give an account of how we live for Him. Everything that you say and I say, what we do, the motives and all the rest of it will all be gone into. People say to me, well, I can't understand that. Well, I want to tell you something. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And all my sins were dealt with when I believed on the Christ that He died for me as a poor, lost, vile sinner. And all of those sins are removed. And they're blotted out beneath the blood of Christ. But how you and I live our lives for God as believers, we have to give an account. And that's what it's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Now let me put it together very simply. First passage, I learned there that in Romans chapter 14, it is the master and the motives of people that are stressed. Now let me tell you this. You and I can't judge motives. People are doing that every day, trying to do it. We can't do that. There's only one can judge the motive of the heart. That's the Lord Jesus Himself. Now here's the context in a simple paragraph. Two type of believers. One is a strong believer and the other is a weak believer. I take it that the weak believer has a Jewish background. He was very, very conscious of how he lived his life. He wouldn't eat meat. Here's the strong believer. He's from a pagan background. And the grace of God has saved the two of them. And you know, he had no problems with the meat. Man, he could eat anything. Set anything down in front of him, he could eat it. Now what happens? Well, now there's a clash. See? The weak man, he criticizes the strong man. The strong man, he despises the weak man. And all of a sudden there's a problem. And now they begin to judge each other. The Lord says, through Paul, don't you judge. You leave that to another day. You can't judge motives. I will look after that at the judgment seat of Christ. Now that's very, very quickly the idea in Romans chapter 14. And he says we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And every believer that's saved by the grace of God will stand there. Every unbeliever will not be there. They die the way they live. They'll be in another throne, the great white throne judgment. And here it is here, look. See that there? That's the tribunal, the end of time. So the chart tells me tonight one simple thought. There's no such a thing as a general judgment and a general resurrection taught in the Bible. Think that over carefully. Now, we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, back to the judgment seat. Now here, it's something different. Here it is the idea of a building. And here it is the material that goes into the building. And the building is the assembly gathered to his precious name. And this is one of the scriptures to show that the Lord Jesus Christ says through his servant Paul, the foundation is laid. There's only one. I was talking to somebody recently along this line, and they were trying to propound all kinds of different foundations. And I asked them, now, tell me something. In our world, the way it's structured, how many sons do we have? I'm talking about S-U-N. One, of course. How many moons do we have? One. We're now talking about Earth. How many points in the compass? Well, there's only one north and one south and one west and one east. The way things are structured, there's only one. And the one is right, whatever that one may be. How do we know which one it is? Well, you have to come to the Bible. Well, that indicates very definitely that all others are wrong. And I was wrong for years myself, till I learned what the Bible taught. Now, we're not here to criticize anybody. Heaven forbid. We're telling you here what the Bible teaches. So, there are two different kinds of builders into God's assembly. Those that build the hay, the wood, and the stubble. That which is bulky. That which is combustible. That means it'll go on fire. That which nature produces. That which is of no value. That has to be gone into at the judgment seat of Christ. In contrast to that, without going into all the details, there's gold, silver, and precious stones. That which moves into small bounds. Nature can't produce it. Get that now. It will never go on fire. It's precious. It's valuable. And it's non-combustible. Thank God. Now I say to myself tonight, as I say to you, in God's assembly, what are you building into God's assembly? All of us. Now I know that the context is teaching. I understand that. But I want to apply it tonight like this. Every one of us in God's assembly, every day we live, every time we come, we're building into the company. What are we building in? Are we building in that which will stand the test of time and eternity? Or are we building in something that won't last? You think that over carefully, as I do the same. Now, the next chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, now, it's a different idea. Here now is judging the motives. Don't you judge anybody else? We hear it every day. We make a judgment call on an individual or a circumstance or an incident, and we don't know the background. And we're all guilty of the same thing. That's the way life is. Here's in Corinth, and this section of people are criticizing Paul the Apostle. And he's the one that brought the gospel to them. And he's the very one that saw them saved and the assembly established. He's the father of the work. And these people have no time for him. And they say, Paul, you're not right. They go down to different things. Paul, in answer to that, says, I don't know anything against myself. Not a thing. I'm living my life before God and before man, but I don't trust myself. I don't judge myself. I leave that to the Lord. Therefore, he says, judge nothing before the time. And the day is coming when the secrets of men's hearts will be gone into. and these dark recesses, the counsels of the heart will be made manifest before the God of heaven. Lord, help us tonight in a very simple way to leave those critical things to the Lord. The wee hymn writer says, which is very good, little acts we have forgotten, he will tell us were for him. The big thing that we thought would get a reward for, the Lord will blow on it. Because of the wrong motive, he alone can assess it. Here's another one. Do you know that when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we will be manifested? And there it's all the deeds done in the body from conversion's day to the last step is taken, and the idea there is we will be turned inside out. See, if I turned inside out my pockets here tonight, for example, anything that's in them would come out. If I took this jacket off and turned it inside out, you would see what's on the inside. Now, that's the idea. And this is a passage to show to the believer whether these things are gain or worthless, is the idea. So that means that as we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, people tell me it'll just be a pushover, and everything will be reward. Well, maybe not necessarily. And it's a very, very solemn thing to realize that everything that I have done and thought and tried to say will be gone into. Well, then people say, well, sin come up at the judgment seat of Christ. Well, all I'll tell you is that we'll be in glorified bodies. All earth limitations will be over forever. And the judge of all the earth will do right. And he's the righteous judge. And he will hand out the rewards in that day. And he alone will make the assessment. I want to tell you there's going to be surprises. I don't want to get off into that side issue. But then on the chart here, and we won't have time even to speak to you about them, but here they are. There's the crown of life, there's the crown of glory, there's the crown of righteousness, and there's the incorruptible crown, and then there's another one, and that is the soul winner's crown. Now, that word crown is stephanos, means a victor's crown. And those crowns will be placed, it's metaphorical language, on every believer that has done work for Christ. Be acknowledged in that day. And they have to be won to be worn. Now it's a beautiful study to go into those five and go through it step by step. We haven't time to do that tonight. I'll just say one thing about those five. 1 Peter chapter 5 is this. It's the shepherd's crown. That is the shepherd in God's assembly. And Peter says to them, and he's speaking by experience. He's a shepherd himself. And he says the day is coming when they will have a crown of glory that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. There are many shepherds today among us in different parts of the world, our own country included, discouraged. They don't know what hand and what way to turn. It's a thankless job. God has given you the ability and the desire and the skill and the patience to do the work for him. Not a position, it's a work. And here's this shows a reward for work done. Same thing with the soul winner's cry. Going out there to win souls for Christ. There will be at that day a reward for those type of things. And all kinds of other things we could say about that, but we have to leave it. Now, people say, will the Lord then take us each into a little cubicle and have a private wee talk? The judgment seat. Now just pause a moment. There are likely millions of believers from Pentecost until the Lord comes. Now we can only think of it from our perspective because we're on earth. We're limited. But I believe that we're all in glorified bodies and time has no limitation. And the whole thing could be over in a short time. And I take it that the bride has made herself ready and all dross will be removed and finished. And then she's going to be presented to the Lord Jesus. Now one has well said, today as believers in Christ, we are weaving the garment that we will wear forever in heaven. That has nothing to do with our conversion. That is secured by the blood of Christ and by the one that died on Calvary. And Mr. Maxwell, that's home in heaven tonight, used to tell us all the time, he wasn't so much disturbed in his mind as to how he would get into heaven alone through the blood of Christ. He was really concerned how he would come out. Why? Because in that day, as we'll see in one of these succeeding nights, what we have done for Christ will be on display, and we're weaving the garment tonight that we'll wear forever. So what the real thing is, we have to put the Lord first in all our deliberations as we move on for Him. So, we come out of the judgment seat. What's next? Presentation. Every wedding that I have performed over the years and that I've been at, all things being considered equal, the bride is presented to the groom by another person. Sometimes the father or the brother or the uncle or whoever. But it is unique to see that in the Father's house, the Lord Jesus Christ will present to Himself the church. It says, for example, in Hebrews chapter 12, He endured the cross, He despised the shame, but He looked down through the ages to see of that day when He would have the compliment, His bride, to share His glory for eternity. He's in heaven tonight. He waits there and we wait here for that day of presentation. What a day that's going to be. Not too much said about it, but I'll just say this, that Ephesians chapter 5 verses 25, 26 and 27 deal with that moment. And He will present to Himself that glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. All dross will be removed. And in perfection, we will be with Him. Now, after the presentation, what happens next? Well, obviously, there's a marriage. Now, we all know what a marriage is. And comes together the closest two creatures, and they become united in one, in holy matrimony, as the husband and the wife. Today in our world, people despise it. They laugh at it. They talk about it's been out of date. All the rest of it. I want to tell you something. God has never withdrawn the great sacredness and holiness of a marriage. It would destroy the type in the Bible. All these things that have happened in our world. What a day it will be up there in heaven. But we'll stand to be married to Christ, presented to Him, and to see Him in all His glory and display on that day. Now what happens after the marriage? Well, all things being considered equal as far as the world is concerned and our earth here, Western civilization anyways, they're usually a banquet. Who goes to the banquet? Well, the guests of the groom or the bride. And they're selected, usually. And that joyous occasion, when the marriage is over, then the celebration. Then that's what we're talking about now in Revelation chapter 19. I'm going to make a suggestion or two, and then we won't get into difficulties. You see, there are two views as to where the marriage supper of the Lamb will take place and who will be there. Now, obviously, the bride is not the guests. When you and I go to a marriage, there's the bride. There she's sitting. She's beautiful. Sitting by the side of the groom, and she's at the head table. Now, it's pretty obvious that she's not the guests. Or the guests are not her. Now, that's the very thing that the Spirit of God speaks about in Revelation chapter 19. And one thing it says, blessed are they that are called under the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's a blessing pronounced to those that will be called in that day. Who would they be? Two possibilities. They would be angelic hosts, possibly. Hebrews chapter 12. You can look at that scripture, you get a minute. The spirits of just men made perfect, Old Testament saints, and so on. Maybe some of the martyred ones of the tribulation day, as we'll see tomorrow night in the will of God. Now comes the question, how did they get there? Now you might not believe this, but I'm going to show you the two possibilities. Now let's look at the chart. See? See this here where it says resurrection of life. Now, that's the saints that will be raised at the rapture of the church and they'll go up into heaven. Now one possibility is that all they that are Christ that is coming, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, includes the Old Testament saints. And if they get their bodies at the rapture, guess what? On the other side of the judgment seat, they could be the guests at the marriage supper. That's one view. Here's another view. And we haven't explained this yet, but well, let's just look at it right at this point. See now, here's at the end of the tribulation. See that there where it says, Lord coming in glory with his saints. He comes down to earth, as we'll see. Now, Revelation chapter 20 shows that there will be the end of the first resurrection. And that's a possibility when the Old Testament saints will get their bodies and the martyred saints of Daniel's 70th week, the tribulation. And they will be raised. And then the marriage supper of the Lamb, we've been told these days, could take place on earth. One of two places it'll take place, either in heaven or on earth. Who will be there? There will be likely myriads of believers, guests, to watch and enjoy the marriage supper. The marriage supper of the Lamb shall banish all our pain. So somebody says, well, where will it be? Well, I'm asking you tonight, where do you think it'll be? Now, we have been through this many times. We have sat beside honored servants of Christ who believe the two different things. We have read scripture after scripture. We have read observations of others. And we don't fall out about it. I just smile. I was at a conference here not too long ago, and the beloved brother is an older man than I am, and he was very, very definite that the marriage supper of the Lamb would be on earth. And I asked him very nicely, brother, how will the saints get down there? Well, he went on to something else. So whatever you enjoy tonight, it never destroys the truth of what we're trying to tell you. The events that will take place after the rapture of the church and where the Lord Jesus Christ is, we will be there. Where you see the groom, so you'll see the bride. So shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 18. Comfort one another with these words. So on. So, we're not going to get hung up tonight in where it is. I've told you the two possibilities. And it could be, for a casual reader of Revelation chapter 19, that it will take place in heaven. Well, I enjoy it that way anyways. Now, what happens next? Now, I didn't read the verses, but I hope you'll read them sometime. Revelation chapter 19, whenever the marriage supper of the Lamb is over. Now we're at the end of Daniel's 70th week. Here we are here, look. See? From this point here, when we got into heaven, as far as time is concerned, it will be at least 7 years to here. And in between these two aspects of the coming again of the Lord Jesus, the tribulation is on earth, but we are up here in heaven. And we are going to enjoy his presence. And we're going to be remote controlled. And I'm among those that believe that we're a heavenly people. And I could have read your Revelation chapter 5, and it would appear that in the millennium earth, we will be remote from the world. And whether it's the satellite city of Revelation 21, or whatever way you enjoy it, we have a responsibility in the millennium earth. And I'm just saying, I doubt if we will be on earth. Now, if some of my beloved brethren, maybe you are here tonight, and they told me, you know something? I will be on earth, and I will be looking after the city where I lived all my life. I wonder about that. Let me ask you something. If you and I are sitting and walking around, say it's Kamloops, and we're walking around here with glorified bodies, and here are all the people in Kamloops, thousands of them, and we have responsibility for the administration of Kamloops or Vancouver or Victoria or wherever, and all these people have just got their normal bodies, and you and I are walking around in glorified bodies. I asked this beloved brother, I was telling Brother Phil today, where would we stay? Where would we sleep? Would we eat? Would we go to restaurants, or would we go to a motel, or what would we do? Just think it out. Word of God doesn't tell us. I'm wondering. I'm just wondering aloud now. We will have our glorified bodies and we will be with Christ. And likely, in remote control, we will administer the millennium earth and we'll judge angels. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And these things are for our learning and for our admonition. Beautiful subject tonight. Now, I want to ask you something. Do you think you could do a little more for the Lord Jesus? Could I? I would like to suggest to you that some of us, maybe myself included, were living careless lives as God's people. And if we could see that there's an incentive of service for him to go out and be involved in the work of God in whatever facet and to give our lives for him and put our bodies on the altar, Romans chapter 12, and do better for him than we have ever done before. Oh, people say, well, I can't leave my work and go full time, as we call it. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about being fully involved in the work of Christ. What do you think you were saved for? To just sit back and take life easy? No, we're here to honor Christ. We're here to do what God wants us to do. Oh, that we could have a little stir in our hearts tonight. Those rewards that will be handed out to that day will be for those who are soul winners, for those who are servants of Christ. We're all servants. For those who are spiritually minded believers. For those who will seal their testimony with their blood. how sad that is. In our world tonight, there are places they're laying down their life, sacrificing all for Christ. They will get a crown of life. Fadeth not away. And then, as I've referred to, the shepherd's crown at the end of the day. Now, I have given you the outline. If I digress from where I am at this point, we get into more detail and people get confused. So, in the closing minutes now of the meeting tonight, let me review exactly where we are. We're in the calendar of God, future events. We're living in momentous days. The Lord is about to come. If he comes tonight, we'll be raptured home to heaven, and we will be there with him. And up in here, we will go to the judgment seat of Christ to receive these rewards. Now let me just talk a bit about it. Maybe I should tell you this. People say now, I wonder what he'll will come up at that particular time. Now I think there's a little hint in Hebrews chapter 11 and in 2 Samuel chapter 23, David's mighty men that were rewarded. And the worthies of faith in the Old Testament, an unfinished list. And there they go down those names. Now the point is this, their failure doesn't come out. Same thing with David's mighty men. He rewarded them for work done. And it would appear that the times in our lives when we're out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus, there's no reward for it. But when we're in fellowship with Christ and in the power of an ungrieved spirit, we seek to serve him to the best of our ability. He's kind. He's righteous, he's just, and he'll reward us accordingly. Maybe some of us are going to have large gaps. Talked to a believer here just recently when I was down there in the U.S. And he says to me, you know, Stan, I don't know why you're getting all excited about me. I was trying to stir him up to live for God. He says, man, I'm saved. Did you not know that? Absolutely. He says, you know, I'm baptized. That's great. And he says, I'm in the assembly fellowship, and I'm sitting back and taking life easy. And he says, I'll be in heaven all right. Don't worry. But he says, I'll tell you something. I'm going to be sitting just behind the back door, right behind there, out of sight. I said, sorry, you won't get the place. He says, why not? I says, it's already taken. What do you mean by that? There are hundreds like them. Just living complacent lives, and they just do day after day, and they're saved, and they fold their arms, and they say, well, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. I'm going on with my work. Dear folk, tonight I want to stir your heart. The Lord Jesus Christ deserves better. By and by, when I look in his face, thorn-riven face, thorn-shadowed face, by and by, when I look in his face, I wish I had given him more. So, we have to leave it there tonight. God help us to be involved in these great things. There's momentous times ahead for the believer. The Lord help us tonight to put our best foot forward, to do better than we have ever done before, to tell others of the Savior that we have found, to encourage others to live for Christ, and to search the book, and to do more for the Lord Jesus, until we see his blessed face. Can't say anything more now. I've just given you a very quick run through. Trust the Lord will bless you, and bless his word to all our hearts. And if you have got confused tonight, we'll be happy to sit down and talk to you.